Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's the question that is perplexing and confounding people all through Mark's gospel. Who is this Jesus? Herod Antipas, whom Mark facetiously refers to as the king — the Romans never made him a king, they only labeled him tetrarch — he's on the latest in a very long list of people who are confused about who Jesus is. The crowds of people that follow Jesus don't know what to make of Jesus. He casts out a demon and they say, "What is this? It's a new teaching, one with authority." We don't know what to make of it. The teachers of the law, they're also confused. Jesus forgives a paralyzed man and heals him of his paralysis. And they say, "Why does he talk like this? He's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins." The disciples, they're no better off either. Jesus calms a storm that they fear is going to kill them, and the first words on their lips, "Who is this whom even the wind and the waves obey?" Indeed, aside from God the Father, the only being in the Gospel of Mark to this point who has gotten it right has been a set of demons. One who identifies Jesus as the Holy One of God, the other who calls him the Son of the Most High, and Jesus tells them both to shut up. They are not appropriate bearers of this information. We know who Jesus is. Mark let us in on the secret in the very opening narration, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Of course, some manuscripts omit the phrase Son of God, but Mark will not be deterred by manuscripts. And there in the baptism of our Lord Jesus, a voice comes from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." We know who Jesus is because we're in on the secret. We've been watching as Jesus does extraordinary things, as he has announced the nearness of the kingdom of God, as the kingdom of God has broken in through his healing and his miracles and his ministry. And now, immediately prior to our text, Jesus has sent out his disciples to expand that kingdom ministry. He has sent them out, and they have preached that all people should repent. They have driven out many demons. They have anointed many people with oil and healed them of all their sicknesses. The kingdom breaks in, and no one knows what to make of it. Herod, least of all. Some of them say, "It's Elijah." Elijah, that great harbinger of the last day, of the day of our Lord. They see Jesus as something penultimate. Jesus does his Jesus thing, and then God will intervene. Others say he's one of the prophets, one of that great and glorious company that God himself uses to announce his counsels and his will in the world. Herod, he stands by his identification. "This is John, whom I beheaded." A rather remarkable confession from Herod when you stop to think about the flashback that follows. After all, Herod knows this one fact about John. John's head is no longer in the same location that his body is. How can John be resurrected? He's had him beheaded. He has delivered John's head to Herodias. It rests in her keeping. And the rest of his remains, John's disciples have carried off and laid to rest. Who is this Jesus? We struggle with that question too. Yes, we have our theological ducks in a row, but there is still the experience of faith. There is still the life of living out that Christian call to discipleship. And we too struggle with the question, who is Jesus? Sometimes we talk about him as if he was nothing more than a great moralist, dishing out advice on successful living, laying out a road to happiness for us. What a nice fellow he is. And yet, in doing so, we make him penultimate. We reduce him from the Father's final word to sinful humanity and make him just a means to an end, a road to something else, an Elijah for these latter days when we don't take the last day all too seriously. Who is Jesus? Sometimes we talk of him as if he's nothing more than a social critic, allowing us who are on the inside to wail against the darkness on the outside, forgetting that there is darkness within us as well. We make him a prophet, and really much less than a prophet. Who is Jesus? God forbid that we should ever reduce him as Herod reduced John the Baptizer, someone we like to listen to, someone who might say something outrageous that we don't really believe, but it's fun to listen to anyhow. When sinners are confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, misunderstandings abound. And to help us through those misunderstandings, it is no coincidence that Mark places the question of Jesus' identity right next to the story of John's death. For by the literary means of a flashback, Mark would pull us forward in the story, pull us forward to the ultimate end of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the cross. After all, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of forgiveness. When John appeared, this is what he had to say. He preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has dispensed the forgiveness of sins to a paralyzed man. He has not done it in so many words, but he has restored a tax collector named Levi and announced the forgiveness of sins to him. His disciples have made known this goodness of God in their preaching as they carry the good news of the kingdom through Galilee. Jesus is the Son of God. He comes to forgive sins. But the only person who understands how he will do that, the only human being who gets it right, is a Roman centurion who sees the manner in which Jesus dies. Who is Jesus? He is the one who comes to die. How do you know? Because John also died. And in reflecting on John's death, we are pulled forward to the cross of the greater one and his death. John is arrested, and because he has confronted Herod with his unlawful marriage. And that confrontation has led Herodias to plot for his death. And we recognize there the foreshadowing of Jesus, who confronts the chief priests and the teachers of the law with their unlawful seizure of God's people and his kingdom. We recognize that they too will plot against him, and they will bring him to trial. Herod is tricked into killing John. Pilate too comes across as a dupe, someone who can find no way to acquit Jesus. John's disciples come and bury him. Jesus' body too is laid in the tomb, not by his disciples, and yet he is set at rest. You want to know who Jesus is? Follow the story through to its end. He is identified for us as the Son of God who has come to make God's reign known. He is the Son of God, and he is identified in the last days of his life as the King of the Jews, but his throne is a cross. He is the Son of God who was crucified and who explains his crucifixion in his own words, that he gives his life as a ransom for many. Herod would have loved to have been a king. He would have loved it had the Romans said, "We're going to elevate you one more level and give you the dignity of this additional title." It didn't happen for him. Jesus was a king, but there was no additional dignity in the title. There was no elevation. For in God's kingdom, the king comes to die in the place of the populace. He comes to die for his people, that they might have the forgiveness of sins. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. His gospel is one of forgiveness. He comes to be crucified. He is your Savior. Any other Christology is wrong. Mark pulls us forward bit by bit and verse by verse to recognize in Jesus Christ our Redeemer, the one whose blood is shed in our place for us, that we might participate in God's reign. To him be glory forever. Amen.